hopefully.
Get rid of that. All right, our guests are here. Luis Gomez is here, and Kurt Metzger is here. Come on in, guys. Sit down. You guys are still masking it up. You're in Florida. You don't have to do that anymore.
So we beat it.
We're free over here. Everything's good. How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
What's going on, dude?
Do you not believe in it or something?
No, no. We all had it already. We had it last about a year ago. We all had antibodies after that.
How did you get it?
This idiot.
With how?
He had it, and we didn't know. And then when he tested positive, we all had to go get tested, and then it turned out we all ended up getting it too. So
do you need vaccine if you have antibodies?
I don't know, but I got it anyway. I'm in shot one of two so
That's
far.
That's right, dude. Yeah.
So
Pfizer.
My whole family, my kids had it, my wife had it, and we all got through pretty good. I had a headache for like 3 days, and then I was fine. And my wife, though, 6 months, no taste, no smell, and no taste. And
wow,
it took her a while.
Really?
Yeah, that sucked for her.
Well, she's with you, so she already had no taste.
Right out of the gate.
Of course, this asshole would have the nicest house on the block. I hate your guts. Of course you would.
Move that a little out of your mouth there.
There we go. You got 15 huge cars and the nicest house on the block. It's infuriating.
Do you like a nice, large car?
No. I don't care. But he's Calder likes a nice large car.
I'm a large guy.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in a small car.
Yeah.
I have I drive the Hummer, so that's my second Hummer. So I had one.
Yeah.
And then I went through every other fancy car after that, and I went right back to the Hummer that nobody drove. That's a living room on wheels. That's the only way that I'm comfortable is in that car.
Yeah. You can only be comfortable in a Hummer.
Living room. No, I mean I have another car, but I mean, anyway, Lewis and I have a history, and people keep asking me today if we don't like each other or we do like each other or if we never staged anything. I don't think anything. I don't think anything I've ever done on this show and anything you've done on your podcast has ever been staged.
No, there's people think that it might be a staged
fight.
Really?
Well, to give the history, Bobby and Lewis are very good friends, and Bobby and I do a podcast together, and Lewis did the podcast with us. And then in typical Lewis fashion, when he got off the podcast, he went on his and he talked crap.
What did he say?
I don't even remember. It was petty stuff. It was not like...
I literally don't even remember what the fight's about. My problem is, like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. So in the moment, I get so passionate and angry. And it's just... But right now, I can't even tell you what it's about. Me and Metzger got into a massive thing at the Comedy Store a couple of years ago.
Right.
Huge fight on video. I can't even tell you what the kernel of the fight is about. Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, I can tell you what it's about. It's on tape. The thing that's crazy is... We're telling the story. I'm telling the story of what happened, okay, on this recording. And Lewis agreed. Like, when Lewis tells you his side of the story, he's not telling you his side. He's telling you, like, the other person's
side. He's telling you what his gorilla brain really thinks in the back of his head.
He's incredibly honest. And so he'll tell you a story.
Right.
And you're like, are you the hero of this story? Because it sounds like...
Let me tell you about him. This is... So... He and I did Bobby's You Know What Dude podcast years ago, and that was the first time we ever met.
Yeah.
And he was typical, loud, and I was like, who is this guy? Took over the whole show.
That's what I do.
But I didn't know that. I had never been on the show. I'd never listened to the show. I didn't know anything about it. So then I liked him. I didn't dislike him. So then I inappropriately crapped on him on Opie and Anthony's show.
But can I just let me know you my perspective real quick?
But I was trying to be a ball buster, and I picked the wrong time to do it, and I did it the wrong way. And I'll tell you,
I had never been on Opie and Jim,
right.
So it was from my perspective.
Here, this is not a podcast.
Whoa, I'm so sorry. We're in a garage.
That's all right.
You're a little confused.
I know you're about 2 weeks away from being in a really nice studio.
I'm sorry. I was you start crapping on me on Opie and Anthony or on Opie and Jim. And people are hitting me up like, dude, this guy's calling it. And I was like, I don't even know this guy. I've never even been on Opie and Jim.
Right.
Who was stoking it up? Like, Gunlights? Or, like, just people, you, like, friends?
At this time, I don't even think the Gunlights existed yet. This is years ago.
This was years ago. So I was trying to be a ball, because Artie was in there, and we were all talking. And anyway, it was my fault, and I reached out to Lewis, and I apologized, and I said I was trying to do something that didn't come out right, And you were cool. You
well,
were like,
respectable.
Right. And he explained. He was like, you know, I've never been on that show, and now you're. And I apologize, and I say I was wrong. I still stick to it. Then about 6 months later, I'm in the city, and I see. I have my head down. I'm sitting outside the studio, and Lewis comes to me. He's like, "Hey, what's up, dude?" And I'm like, "Oh, hey." And this is our first time meeting after that happened.
Yeah.
And you were super nice, and you were like, "Hey, it was good to see you. All right, have a good time." And then he goes on his show and he talked crap about me. And I was like, God damn it. Is this guy going to like me or is he going to hate me?
Wait, what did you say?
Once again, I don't remember.
I don't even remember.
Something, you know, something about him being, you know, an old Florida fart. I have no idea. It wasn't good. Bobby was like, dude, you're not going to be able to work Tampa. I was like, I hate Tampa.
Yeah, and that was my thing. I'm not like, I'm not that guy. But anyway, so things clear up and things are good. And then Lewis gets on the show, and then something annoyed him afterwards, and he talked about it afterwards. And I go, why doesn't he say it while he's on the show? Like, I don't understand people like that. So we called Lewis up, and he, of course, came immediately on the show. And he and I screamed at each other and screamed over each other for the next hour. And it was pretty good.
Really? This is very I had no idea it was so...
It was pretty good. It was pretty solid of us just screaming at each other for an hour. And when it was over, though, I was like... Yeah, I like that guy. He's, you know, it was a respectable thing.
You almost respect a guy who doesn't back down,
right?
You know, you're like, okay, I understand where you're coming.
I don't people like when Bobby says like you'll never work Tampa. Brian will tell you, have I ever? The only one that I didn't want you to work with is Rob, the guy who used to work for me. But I have never, and that was probably more a favor to comic fans than anything else. There was nobody, no comedian that I ever said like if I don't like somebody, I don't.
There was a year and a half period where anytime somebody would bring up Tampa, I would just
crap on it.
Forget it.
My fault?
I was like, I don't even want to work Tampa. I hope the whole city falls into the ocean.
Hey, good luck with ticket sales.
I have that with only Madison, Wisconsin.
You don't like Madison or they don't like you?
I got fired there.
Why? Why?
For the hour that I did on Comedy Central, I was doing that set.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, they said it was too offensive.
Are they that conservative in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, dude. I got somebody like
Metzger, to be fair, you're like if Pete Metzger's a genius comic, right? One of the best in the business, and your material is incredible. But if somebody doesn't like you and they're not vibing with what you do, I can understand them being extremely offended by
it. Well, it's whatever's in the hour is what I was doing.
Right.
So,
and they didn't want that.
Yeah, I don't know what was bad about it. I really don't.
Yeah.
It made it past all the standards.
Listen to me. I understand this looks like a sex dungeon.
I keep thinking I'm on a podcast.
There's 2 million people listening to you, Potty Mouth.
Well, this really looks like the room where they're about to do a gangbang.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's plastic.
Covered in plastic.
Murder somebody.
Five ugly men waiting for a hot chick to show up.
There was a wall behind you that I built, and then when we decided to do this from here, we knocked the wall down, and we're in the process of obviously rebuilding it all now. So it'll be next time you come, next 6 years, it'll be beautiful. All right,
it's very relaxed. I keep forgetting. Okay.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Can I just say when we landed, within an hour, Lewis had to make an apology call to a guy.
You don't have to say what it was about, but
we're not talking about these things on podcasts or on radio.
It's just an unbelievable amount of fun.
Of apologies.
Look, here's what he's about to say. Yeah. I am the only comedian in the world who's had to publicly do FaceTime calls with multiple mentally handicapped people and apologize for things that I've said on my podcast.
I understand that. I might have been in that situation.
Have you been in that situation?
Are you guys friends now?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly you're out here together.
We weren't.
Sometimes it's better. Sometimes.
Lewis thought it was the dumbest thing. And it.
Don't get me started again.
No,
yeah, I'll go right back there.
Just don't curse. You'll be fine.
In his mind, because, you know, he's like, oh, Lewis, he's the hero of the story. Metzger was truly the villain of this story.
Right.
There's no rhyme or reason. His psychiatry. Metzger, he's pointing at me like, oh, this guy's crazy. He's also a genuine lunatic. Anybody that knows either one of us will say, oh, okay. Yeah, both of those guys are unhinged and dangerous.
This is a classic Lewis. A classic Lewis thing. And it's not involving me. This is with Jay.
Okay.
Because we were on the road in Philly.
Big Jay Ogerson.
Lewis had an outburst at the hotel with somebody, which luckily it was Philly.
A fan?
No.
Or one of you guys.
Wait, a fan.
Like, who do you have the outburst with?
I don't know, hotel manager.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like
well, I'll tell
there.
What happened. I was at the hotel, and I was rolling a blunt in my room.
Uh-huh.
And the hotel staff, like, I went to go leave the room, and I knew I had some really dank crap,
right?
So I opened the door to go leave my hotel room. I have the blunt in my hand. It's not lit. I just rolled it. I was going outside, and I see a hotel staff member walk by me. And I just see them look. And it really smells. You really smell it. And like an idiot, it's like a Larry David moment. I was like, eh, just so you know, I wasn't smoking in the room or anything. I just rolled it. I'm going to go. And then they look at me. They're like, what?
But this was after you had already been in an argument with somebody and you went back up and this happened. Do you remember that? You just got to. Anyway.
He clearly does not remember his fight.
It's Philly. So yeah. Luckily.
Yeah, terrible customer service. I'm a stickler for good customer service. So if you've been to Philly, you know what I'm talking about.
You also don't seem like somebody to me that lives the high life where you're used to like 5-star customer service.
No, I really, dude. I dress.
What hotel were you at in the?
What hotel Philly? Were we at?
I'd imagine it's something that has Ian.
I don't remember.
It was a decent one. It wasn't a terrible one.
Okay, all right. So they.
Okay, so we're doing a podcast later, and Lewis tells me a story of going with Big J on the road, and he he wanted Jay to critique his set. Okay. Jay's like,
I'm a month into comedy.
Right. Yeah, and okay. And Jay's like, yeah, you don't want me to do that. It's going to be hard. She goes, no, I want you to do it. Correct me if I'm wrong on any part of this. He goes, no, I want you to. And Jay's like, all right, fine. So he goes through it. And he's like, this is okay. Get rid of this. This is good. This, get rid of this.
No, that's not what happens. You're just, first of all, this is not even a good example of it. My feelings were hurt because a comedian that I looked up to, that right. I'm a month into comedy, I was going on the road with him, I have these terrible jokes. Anybody who's doing comedy for a month is just terrible. I was like, hey, dude, will you go for some of my jokes? And every joke, like I tell him the first joke, and he's like, it's terrible. Just drop it. I was like, this is my opener. And then I tell him another one. Drop that one too. And that was my closer. And it was my two best jokes. And the story that Metzger's trying to get out right now is that my feelings were hurt because somebody who I looked up to in comedy
crapped on me,
and it was like,
that is
really
not the story that I'm trying to get
what
out
is the story we're trying to get out?
Jay said, I shouldn't go over your set because you're a new guy, and you said, no, I want you to go over it.
Yeah,
okay?
Most young
and
comics
your
would do.
And your moral of the story was Jay should have lied and just told you they were good. This
yeah.
is what you told me the story.
This is what I would do. That's, not that it was good.
That's he like a girlfriend expects that kind
yes.
of shit.
Yes.
I thought he was going to end with, and Jay told me, and it really helped my set. I thought, like.
No, it right. did. That is the end of the story, is that I ended up stinking for
thing,
a year because I
Lewis
got rid
part.
Of all those jokes.
The amazing Lewis part is that you couldn't believe that he did what you requested that he do. After he hesitated because you were a new guy. That's the part that's mind-blowing. Is the, yeah, he should have just, like, you right. point-blank asked a man to do that for you. Like,
and then he did it, and you didn't appreciate it.
I know.
Oh, it's sad.
That is mind-blowing.
Because you probably were like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I'm not, for a second.
No, of course. Like, yeah, it just got in my head completely. I mean, do you know how many things I've done? I mean, I have, like, to get into the lunacy that I am, that is such a benign non-story. I mean.
So how does that tie into you?
No,
guys?
It is a not. I'm just saying that sums up.
That sums up the Lewis yeah.
thing is like. He was like, how could
when
you
I was
not
22
have a...
years old, 15 years ago,
okay, but
I was a young comedian.
It's all the same story. How could you not have accounted for Lewis's feelings that you were going to be surprised he had out of nowhere? Which may or may not be, you know. I mean, it's shocking. So that's what happened to me and him. It was crazy. It was like having if you lose like an abused pit bull or something.
The two of you?
No, which I said Lewis is like an
abused yeah.
Metzger, if you ask any of our friends, Metzger is the craziest of everybody. The craziest person that everybody knows.
I would
so
never start a scene at a comedy club because I thought someone gave me the light.
You have.
You've got a hang up about being a headline and all this other nonsense.
That's not what happened. Metzger, if you guys know what happened,
I don't know what happened.
The way comedy clubs work,
yeah.
When you're on, I'm doing a set on stage, Metzger comes in late to the show.
What does that have to do with the story?
It has everything to do with the story. I'm doing a joke. Metzger comes in late to the show and starts it's our crowd. An entire Legion of Saints audience stands in the middle of the room, starts flashing his light at me to get off the stage so he can go up. in the middle of my set, he's not working the club. It's not his show. It's not his room. It's not his place.
He's trying to push you off the
stage. He's trying to push me off the stage. So I got mad. This is the craziness that Kurt Metzger has. Brian, if somebody did that, stood in the middle of the room and started flashing the guy before him,
let's adjust. This is, again, like a sensitivity thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
It seems,
he has a different version of this.
He does.
I got there late before, like, Lewis is hosting the show. Now, I thought, because we just smoked a joint, Lewis was high and didn't realize how long he went as the host.
Right.
Okay?
Host is not supposed to do
And I had
set.
No idea.
Right.
Okay? I thought he just was blowing past. So I just waved the, like, how anyone would do if that's
Nobody
the
would
host.
Do that. There's no comedian in the world would ever go into the center of the room and start lighting the comedian to get off stage because it's my time. It's Kurt Metzger's time.
You hear the insecurity? So that, look,
I guess. I mean, nobody would do that.
Dude, but this is the crippling insecurity is what I'm talking about, which you don't need to have.
Did you address it from the stage? Did you go, why?
No,
I
got off stage, and I thought that Metzger had to go somewhere.
Uh-huh, okay.
So I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I was like, all right, I'm assuming he has to run out because that's why he did that.
So you wrap it up.
So I wrap it up. He gets off stage, and he's like, oh, dude, let's go hang out and smoke. And I was like, I thought you had to go somewhere. And he was like, no. I was like, why are you lighting me then? And then
that's not what happened. You jumped in my face and went, they ever light me?
I find that very easy to believe.
it's exactly what happened. And I was like, It was shocking, out of nowhere. I had no idea this was a thing. I had no idea I was supposed to plan around. I haven't been hanging out, with all of them. Now, Jay has become accustomed to this kind of stuff, okay?
That's the other thing I find about Lewis, is that when I'm, like, shocked by his behavior, everybody goes, oh, that's just Lewis. Like, they've all become used
to it is almost respectable, like a subtle test of wills of, like...
Like, who he is, you like...
Oh, dude, my God, I'm sorry. You have a dump button, right?
I do, but...
Yeah, four times.
Running out.
I'm sorry.
I mean...
the people on the other end just going like, Jesus Christ, please stop saying that.
But listen, it wouldn't even occur to me to jump into somebody's face... Over getting lit. I don't have a thing about that. Like, I don't have a thing about I'm the headliner or any of that kind
of. No, I wasn't the headliner. That wasn't the point. I was.
Dude, there's a thing.
Nobody in the world, no comedian listening to this, goes, oh, yeah. Everyone that has heard this story, every one of our friends, everyone that you've told it to, everyone that I've told it to, says, oh, that's weird. It's weird. Nobody else would light another comedian so they can go up on stage. Nobody would do that. And so you can sit here and say I'm crazy. I was offended because somebody who I love.
Lewis, I thought, as a guy who's hosting, 20 minutes.
Getting angry.
Why?
That wasn't what happened. I wasn't hosting for 20 minutes, Metzger. It was between comics. I was doing one joke between comics. So you're wrong. You're just 100% wrong. So whatever your version of the story is, it's fine. But I'm telling you, any comedian that hears that would go, okay, that's weird. You're not really supposed to do that. Brian, who works at a comedy club, just said, yeah, that would be weird.
Okay, wait. Here. Better, because we're getting around the whole argument. Yeah, you could have come up to me and said, hey.
I did.
No, Lewis. You could have come up.
You actually, when I said, Kurt,
hush,
you have to leave. You know what you said? You said, why are you even bringing this up to me? You owe me $100 from the comedy store from last
year.
And that's when I got mad because I was like,
no, Lewis, this is after you jump. You go exactly like this. You go, I thought you'd go somewhere. I go, oh no. And you went, and you were at the top of your lungs. Now, if you had said to me, hey, that's weird that you gave me the light and it like, you could have said any of that. And I go, hey, you know what? I didn't mean anything by it. And you're totally right. That's not what you said, Lewis. You jumped in like a fight.
So you didn't like my tone. Okay.
No.
I would describe your tone as angry gorilla.
I didn't threaten you until you started popping off. And then I threatened to beat the hell out of you.
All right, well, hold on. Let me jump in real
quick. I didn't
pop
off at all. You popped off.
I just want to remind you, the dump can't build up fast enough, so we got to be careful on the curses.
Okay, did I curse?
No, you're not doing it on purpose. No. Oh. But I feel like as this tension builds, it's going to slip out again.
Kelto, why would you even bring this up between me and Metzger?
Because
we've gone past this. We're cool. We're on the road. We set up a tour.
Okay.
It's our poster.
That's what I don't understand.
I want Lewis not to be insecure.
I specifically didn't watch the fight so that I could hear you guys tell me about what happened between the two of you.
Oh, it's funny if you watch it.
I will watch it after, but
the story is funny. It's funny to watch.
I feel like I kind of get both of your side. I feel like you're like, if I'm on stage, why is this guy doing this to me? And I feel like you were
sure.
That's my friend and he's going too long and I'm just going to give him a little.
I thought he didn't realize.
Right.
if he goes, hey, that really upset me, and I'm like, oh, I apologize, Lewis. I didn't mean anything.
I did say that, and you said you'll be $100 from the comedy store because he did a show a year before for Legion of Skanks.
Lewis, you jumped to threatening me at a club.
We did a show a year before Legion of Skanks at the comedy store, and he never got paid from the club. We don't even pay him. He never got paid, so he brings this up weirdly, and I'm angry.
In the middle of
you can't threaten me and owe me money from a show.
I don't owe you money from a show. You were owed.
You could owe me $100, or you could threaten me over nonsense.
Well,
that's all that I meant by that.
Well, I didn't owe you $100. I didn't owe you $100. So I threatened you because I didn't owe you $100. So I opted for that instead.
And all that, were you going to jump and fight people? It's such nonsense. There's no excuse for it.
Master, you are literally one of the only people that I know that has hit people at comedy clubs. You!
A guy who attacked me.
I've never hit anybody at a comedy club.
That's coming, though. It's coming.
A guy that boxed my ear.
And you deserved it.
All right, hold on.
I guarantee Metzger deserved it. I guarantee the guy was in the right.
No, at no point was he in the right. In fact, he went to... That's a great story. That guy went to jail.
Can I make things 10 times worse?
Please.
Are you dating his ex-girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, I mean,
that doesn't make it worse.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't, man.
By the way, the fight you're talking about isn't even that night. We haven't even gotten to the comedy store, which is 6 months later.
You decided to do a tour together. When did you sit there and go, hey, you know what would be a good idea?
We got past this 2 days after it happened.
Listen, there's always a fresh thing to focus on, so there's no reason to...
There you go.
It's just, look, it's just an amazing amount of insecurity. You have a thing that you think that, like, me and Jay and all these people, like, everybody's just like, welcome to comedy. And you, like, that's your story. You're like, nobody ever wanted me in this business. Nobody told me I was good.
Everyone's story. Everyone in comedy has an amazing amount of insecurity, including you. You have a massive amount of insecurity. And I'm not going to say
you're a little extra insecure.
I don't think so. I don't know.
It manifests in your aggression. Look at you.
Maybe that comes from insecurity, but I don't know if it's insecurity within the specific comedy realm. I'm doing pretty well. I'm not talented, and I'm doing okay.
The way you said that just now is insecure. You just said that in an insecure way now.
I'm not talented, I'm doing okay. I am doing okay.
I can relate.
I'm doing okay. I don't really want to say. Am I supposed to pretend that I'm a failing comedian? So I'm not. I'm doing okay. I don't claim to be Patrice O'Neill or the next Bill Burr. I think people should look at me and go, oh, you know what, dude? He's figured something out there because he's not that good and he's figured out how to do okay.
I'm sure people do. I don't. Do you understand insecure what I'm saying?
No!
This is insecure talk. Is it not insecure talk?
I kind of understand what he's saying. I kind of understand because people always ask me, can you give me some advice? And I go, I don't know how I got it. I don't know. This just happened. So
you're pointing your finger and be going, you're insecure. What am I supposed to respond to that?
Be confident. No, I'm joking.
I mean, literally, every comedian that I know is insecure. Every single one of us.
Yes.
Including you, including Jay.
Yes,
and you're naming the most insecure people in the world that I learned from. I learned from watching you, Daddy.
Big Jay is insecure.
Oh, yeah.
You can't wear fingerless leather gloves unless you own it. He doesn't.
He wears them because he's insecure about his hands.
Oh, that
he's got fat tops of his hands, but he loves his fingers.
That's a lot of Hot Topic stuff.
This is, exactly. He's a walking Hot Topic is what he is. This seems like an odd idea for you guys to go out together.
Well, we've done like at least a dozen shows.
Well,
you're the only radio host that's brought it up. Every other city, they're like, hey, so tell me about it. So I see you like airline food. Yeah. This guy, he's like, tell me specifically the problem. Let's get to the root of it.
At least I waited till the middle. Oh, no, I started it. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Look, I think it's much better. It's much more interesting knowing the background story of you guys than, if you're at Sidesputters together, clearly you have two funny comedians. You're going to go see a good show, but let's get to the good stuff.
Of course. Well, look, me and Metzger, we had... The reality is both of us are psychopaths.
But I didn't realize how big Metzger is.
Metzger's a big guy.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that.
I'm badass. You're right.
I threatened him. You fight. You train to fight, and you've done some fighting and stuff, and he's way bigger than you, so there would be a good fight.
Who would do that?
Who would fight?
You would at the Comedy Cellar. You remember the guy?
Someone attacked me, and I hit them, yes.
Yeah. Well, who attacked you? A fan?
No, some drunk guy. Some drunk guy who ended up going, him and his girlfriend, the cops showed up, and I left because I had to get my ear checked.
Right.
This guy boxed my ear. And the girl called one of the cops an N-word and took a swing at him.
Ooh.
I found this out like 2 years later. And the guy, she left him and ended up leaving him for the black cop that she called the N-word.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's the best term. Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I guess so.
Good for that. She atoned.
Yeah, the guy tried. The guy popped my eardrum.
What was he? Just a drunk patron of the
yeah,
comic?
A drunk
club?
Idiot. Yeah. And I had my head out like this. I go, hey, he's getting up. No, he got. It was not. I wasn't on stage. When I was off, and he came up and went.
I'm more surprised you've never fought with a fan.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
don't say it like you're. Well, I mean, I'm so calm.
I mean, I don't think he was. I don't feel like he was.
No, he wasn't a fan. He was a patron of the comedy club. Right.
Like my mom says if they box your eardrum in, they're not a fan. Mother says.
Yeah, no, I haven't, but.
Did you two get in a physical altercation? Like, did you?
No.
No, I tried.
Like a Kevin Brennan, Gary Goldman type fight?
Whoa, what's that?
Oh, I heard Goldman grabbed Brennan and threw him against the wall and was like, yeah. I heard you were talking crap about me. Goldman's got crazy strength.
Kevin probably was talking about him. Yeah, well, talk about insecure. But Gary is very...
Oh, they're both insecure.
Well, Kevin...
Kevin doesn't really care.
I did Kumia's show, okay? And he was on it, which I like Kevin fine. I don't have nothing against him. But so I felt bad for him because he was complaining to his brother about Neil has him blocked on social media.
Right.
He goes, my own brother. He goes, ought to be a law. So for a second, I felt bad. Just like, I'm sure he did something... But I'm like, it's his brother. You know, I had the sympathy. So at the end of the show, he goes, you want to plug anything? And he goes, yeah, I'm selling Neil Has AIDS shirts.
Yeah, he made them.
He's got red ribbon and it says Neil Has AIDS.
Oh, yeah. He hawked them on this show. It's a great relationship.
Why would you?
He wants to know why his brother's got him blocked. This is Kurt Metzger and Louis J. Gomez. They're going to be at Side Splitters all weekend. If they make it through the weekend. So there's no tension over the fact that you date his ex-girlfriend? I just found out about that. She wasn't...
Like 5 years ago, man.
Oh, she was your girlfriend 5 years ago.
Yeah, they broke up years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know the story. Somebody mentioned it to me last night in the chat, and I was like, I'll ask him. I don't know. Yeah. And
how, what if he didn't know?
Oh, that'd be great.
And you broke the news to him?
You have to tell me which ex-girlfriend.
you were dating Kim last time you were here.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're dating this girl. Is she a comic, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that with radio people. We know radio people that are both in radio that got engaged. What if she takes off? That's not going to annoy you? Like, her career, all of a sudden, she does something. She gets on a roast or something. She takes off. And everybody's like, oh, I don't know. That changes the whole dynamic of a relationship.
Well, I am extremely insecure.
Yeah, I heard.
So, that would probably kill me. No, it would. I mean, I want her to be successful.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Like, I don't know. That was a long time since the last one.
It was okay. That one we can
I feel like if you guys aren't on top of that one, that's kind of you.
Listen, we're on top of it, bro, but we've how many times are you going to curse? Yeah. We've told you how many times.
If I'm not cursing, we don't need you.
She's not there just to hit the dump.
Oh, she's not? Never
mind. Damn so, it. Yeah. Suck it.
Lewis is the host of Legion of Skanks podcast, which is very popular. Are there a lot of skank fans down here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah? We were in Boca last night. I was surprised because every time I've gone to Miami, Boca areas, it hasn't been great. And this time we had a lot of people show up on a Thursday, and I think this weekend. The Skanks fans, they look like they're savages. They look like they're like heavy metal, like Ozfest.
Yeah, you can pick them out.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but yeah, they're the sweetest people.
It's you'll see logo. A lot of shirts. That's good merch.
Yeah, the fan base is extremely passionate. They drink heavy. It's going to be a party vibe. They tip very heavy. The wait staff will be happy. So come out and party.
I always wonder. When you do a podcast that's popular, you don't know until you get out in the country who's actually listening to it. So that's
The last place we did, they were real good. The bar sales were way up. Like the guy was pretty happy with it.
Oh, sure. I'm sure. Listen, I have to tell you this because it turned out great. When you and I were fighting, you were doing the it was election time, and you were doing voting for who would be the president of the Skanks.
Yeah.
And in our fight, I told you that was a hacky old radio bit that you were doing.
Yeah.
Which we all did at one point in our careers.
Who's the president? Like you
like, know, like the station.
A mock election. Yeah.
The mock. Well, the station.
Who were the candidates?
Me, Big J, Dave, and Ari Shafir.
Yeah, it was like... It was...
Ari's not a member of the Legion of Skanks.
Lewis and I had a fight, and then all of a sudden everybody was buying my cameo to get me to make videos to promote Lewis.
As president, yeah.
I was like, I'll take all your money. I couldn't care less. and then, it was just an idea that had been done before. But what you guys did with that at the end was fantastic.
It was bonkers.
What happened at the end?
Oh, dude. Somebody dosed somebody else.
So Ari Shaffir famously dosed Bert Kreischer with Molly.
Right.
And it's like a famous story. Like, and Bert's wife was mad. Like, their relationship is still shaky because of this situation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy that he did that.
So yes. Ari comes in.
That's a crime, is what that is.
Ari comes into this election, and he takes over. He's like, I'm going to be president. And he's obviously winning. Like, he's going so over the top. Every week, it's a new stunt. He's coming in outfits. He has a new suit every week.
He is 100% into whatever he's
doing. Yes. And he brings the best out of him.
No regrets whatsoever. When he did the Kobe Bryant thing, I called Bert and I go, what is he doing? And Bert goes, he's being Ari.
Yeah. I thought like he got hacked for a second when I woke up. And he goes, no, he said to me so kind, like, whenever someone famous dies, they say, I'm glad they're dead. I'm like, all right.
Did you see his Bernie Madoff tweet?
Yes.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's typical of him. He did the opposite. Praising.
He was like, Bernie Madoff was a hero.
But he's consistent and he's fearless.
He's awesome.
Love that, yeah.
And we gave him a lie detector test, an actual accredited lie detector test, and we asked him if he regretted the Kobe tweet. He does not.
No.
It's crazy. Yeah,
no. Lost his tour.
So much.
Lost his special. Lost his agent. And I believe he doesn't regret it.
He does not regret it for 1 second. So he comes into the election and he's taking over and everyone's leveling up. He makes it a very big circus and spectacle. It was going to be a bit that probably lasted 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
We stretched this for like 2 months and it just got better and better and better.
It got bigger. So I started noticing it on Twitter, people mentioning it. I mean, it was you really locked it in well.
Yeah, it was live outside during the summer. It was a party vibe outside. And it was the last night, and I knew Ari was going to win. I was like, there's no way he's not going to win. And a bunch of fans were there, and one of the fans had acid with him. And he's like, dude, you want some acid? And I was like, sure. And I took the acid, and I was like, I'm going to now just fucking say, screw it. I just caught myself.
Yeah, I caught yourself.
I was like, Ari's going to win, but I'm going to get retribution for Bert Kreischer, and I'm going to put acid in Ari's drink, and I'm going to dose Ari. And he'll win, but he'll be dosed.
Do you know how, like, I'm not a drug guy. I wouldn't know how much acid is going to kill somebody and how much is going to...
There's no amount of acid.
All right, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know what's too much acid.
Ari Shaffir is a...
He's a seasoned druggie.
Seasoned druggie.
Right.
I put one hit, which is going to be pretty mild.
Okay, so that's what an average person would take.
Yeah, especially because it's in a drink. It's not going to get you crazy. I just wanted him to feel it, and then we'd have the moment where I'm like, oh, I dosed Ari.
I think I remember texting Lewis, like, please don't. I remember being like, just please don't validate.
Clearly not somebody he listens to.
Oh, my God.
So I have one of my employees dose him. I mean, there's another law broken. Mm-hmm. I have one of my employees dose him. He puts the drink in front of him. Now, here's where I made a mistake. I told Shane Gillis. Now, Shane Gillis was Ari's running mate, and this was stupid. I just thought Shane, for the sake of funny, would go, I'm not going to tell Ari. It is pretty funny that Ari's going to get
right, dosed. Right, and let him go through it.
He's going to win. Who cares? Ari tells... Shane
being the genius that he is.
Shane tells Ari. Now, while we're all just doing our thing, we're all on a panel. There's like six of us. We're going back and forth. Ari switches his beer with Big J's beer.
Now, who does not do drugs.
Who's never done acid in his life.
Right.
If you've ever done acid, it is a to-do.
Yes.
It is 10 hours of your day. The next day, you're going to be thinking about a lot of stuff.
These guys do a lot of drugs.
Yeah, you know what's up. It's not Molly. Molly's like, oh, I got to throw some Molly.
You're
this kind of feels
six
good.
6 hours, you're good.
Yeah.
Acid is a whole thing, and Jay has no idea. So Ari, you got to watch this episode. It's available. Go watch The Best of the Election on YouTube, Legion of Skanks. Ari, knowing what's going on, dude, he slow plays it so well because he starts to slowly act like he's on acid.
Right.
So you see him for like 30 minutes.
You think he's taking it. You're buying into it the whole time.
We're losing our minds laughing on the other side of the table at Ari thinking, and he's going, oh,
yeah.
Like looking up. And like it's like a...
In your mind, you're like, this is the greatest thing ever.
This is the greatest thing ever.
Off.
And I stand up at one point. I was like, you know what? Ari may win this thing, but he thinks he's the king of mayhem. I'm the king of mayhem. I dosed your drink. And then Ari just like a
Ari
grin.
Went from being droopy to
an
snapping
evil
out of
grin.
It.
Like, remember when the Grinch gets that evil grin, like the idea to destroy Christmas?
Yeah.
He has a face like a satyr.
Yeah.
Like, you should have goat feet. Yeah.
And he goes, you think I didn't know that? You don't think that I switched your drink with Big J's? And you see Big J look up like, what?
Big J goes into panic mode. He's like, dude, for real? Are you telling the truth? He panics.
Dude, he panics. We end up finishing the show. Big J is a pro, so he finishes it. And then Big J just trips.
Did he start to have any effects during the show or no?
No, but for the next 30 hours, yeah. He tripped.
Oh, really?
For 30 hours?
And it wasn't even a good trip where it was like he was seeing things. It was in, my friends have hurt me. Just the bad feeling.
That's not
feeling
a trip,
side.
That's reality. Yeah. that's a big difference.
It sounds like he's just seeing clearly for the first time.
Yeah. He had opened his mind to what his friends are.
He's not tripping.
So I heard his wife was mad, too.
Yeah, it wasn't good, dude. He wouldn't talk to us for like 3 days. I went to his house. Yeah. I just went.
Jay wouldn't?
No, Jay wouldn't.
Because you drugged him?
Well, I drugged Ari, and Ari drugged him.
He indirectly.
And then we did a trial on who was more responsible for drugging Jay, me or Ari.
Right. And who?
Ari lost.
Ari lost and got banished to South America.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, what does he do? He just picks up and goes?
Yeah, I respect it so much.
Yeah, me too, but what is he, like...
Just wanders with no shirt around the world.
I know, but I don't know how much I think that sounds great, but after day two, I'd be like, there's too many
No,
bugs.
He loves it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he likes to go and just, like, feed baby goats on a mountain somewhere. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. I just went to Jamaica a week ago. By day six, I'm like, I gotta get home.
Now, what did you do? Now, who do you know there? Like, you stayed with people you know or no?
No.
You
just rented out?
Yeah, villa? Yeah. Villa. That looked nice. That looked like a good trip. I don't know. I'm going to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
Where are you going?
My family, and I'm...
Where in Hawaii?
Well, this is the thing. I've never been there before, and we're going to Kauai?
Yeah, it's the place to go.
But I don't want to stay there for 10 goddamn days.
No, it's too long. That's 5 days. You want 5 days. That's it.
I don't even want 5 days. I would take 3 days there and then go somewhere else and go somewhere else.
A beach is a beach. If there's one water...
I live in Florida.
Kauai is... Like, really something. I mean, it's really something.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. Like, they say that's a place. But, like, I know people live in Hawaii, and they're like, oh, yeah, after day three, you're going to be going out of your mind. I'm
day
not the...
five, I define weed. I define weed from a taxi driver.
I'm not the sit on the beach and just chill kind of guy. Like, after the third day, I'm like, I got stuff to do.
It's, I mean, it looks like nothing. When I was a Jehovah's Witness, and they would have the magazines with the Garden of Eden feature.
Right. It looks just like that.
Yeah, they were painting Kauai, I found out later. That's what
you were a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
That was, I gotta tell you, that I don't really understand the whole Jehovah's Witness religion, but it is one of the most offensive things to me ever, because when I was a kid, I grew up in Staten Island in a apartment building, like a ghetto apartment, and my mother would have to work on the weekends, so I didn't know not to answer the door. So people would knock on the door, and I'd open the door, and then next thing you know, these people would have me praying in the hallway. I was just a kid.
They'd have you pray in the hallway?
It would be an adult and, like, a younger adult, and they would knock on the door and then start talking to me about Jesus. And I went to Catholic school, so I didn't want to just be like, go away.
I was supposed to pray in the hallway with you.
I never heard of that. Yeah, they were Jews. Next thing you know, they're praying, and I'm holding my hands up, and I have no idea what
I'm
doing.
That doesn't sound like Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, well, whatever they were, Jehovah's Witnesses getting the blame for it. I don't know.
That sounds like a different thing.
Yeah. Well, those people bugged me, whoever they were.
Well, people don't want to be bothered at home.
Well, I was also a kid. I feel like they took advantage of me. They shouldn't be talking to a kid, even if it is about Jesus.
Did they molest you? Are you saying they...
They did not molest me.
They wasted your time, basically.
Have you ever been molested?
You'd think.
That should be like an easy question to answer.
Well, because no, it depends on, if I was a chick, I would say, yeah, I was definitely 100% molested, but because I'm a dude, I don't count it as molestation.
I have a similar.
What happened?
Yeah, tell me what happened. I may have a similar story. And watch your language.
Did I?
No, I'm just letting, you're about to talk about a semi-sexual situation. I don't want you to be too graphic.
No, I won't be.
I know.
So I'm in, I want to say the sixth grade.
Okay.
Sixth grade, I'm sleeping over at my friend's house, a Dominican kid, and his mother, in the middle of the night, who's like an older Dominican lady with like no teeth, just a kind of a fat lady. Right. In the middle of the night, she climbed into my bed in her nightgown.
At 12 years old. You're 12 years old.
Yeah, maybe 11 or 12. Wrapped her leg around me and just held me really close to her and breathed in my ear for like maybe 10 minutes and then left. And that was it. There was no...
Were you like, what is this chick doing?
I was like, what the hell's going on? And
honestly, a bizarre thing.
She was just not attractive at all. Like, if she was hot, I probably would have, like, got
12.
In. Yeah. But she was a very, like, unattractive older lady. And I don't know, maybe she was sleepwalking.
Maybe she felt like you needed love.
Maybe she felt like I needed love. Maybe she saw my insecurity.
Yeah.
Mester, why don't you just climb into my bed and canoodle with me instead of yelling at me?
Did she didn't touch anything?
She didn't touch anything.
So she might have just been trying to be like, come here, baby. Give me a hug.
It could have been that. It could have been. It was just very, it never happened before. I had slept over there all the time. It had never happened before. she didn't have, she wasn't that sort, she wasn't affectionate like that.
Oh, she was probably sleepwalking.
I think she was sleepwalking.
Yeah.
And I think she got into the wrong she got into the wrong bed and did that. But the reality is if I was an 11-year-old girl and somebody's father did that,
yeah, that'd be insane.
That would be a whole thing. Like even if it was sleepwalking, like that would be a whole to do.
What about you?
No.
Yeah. See, I was
just regular beatings. nothing hot.
nothing sexy about it. Yeah. I had a girl that was a little bit older than me do stuff to me when I was very young. And these guys are all like, "Oh, that's not molested. You're a dude."
How, what are the ages?
I was like, my parents were still married, so I had to be like four or under.
Oh, wow.
Five or under.
And how old was she?
I was in kindergarten.
How old was she?
Like eight.
Oh,
that's the thing. Yeah, like,
they
I'm not
call
like,
that child's play.
I'm not like let's bring up on charges. But that was a little bit that might have been a little uncomfortable for me.
Luckily, you guys are, like, young enough where it's not so...
Right.
I
still remember it pretty detailed.
The sad story is she learned it from somewhere, so she was definitely getting molested by somebody.
Right.
And then was, you know, doing it to you.
And she was manipulating me. She told me that we could play the Happy Days board game if I did stuff with her. And then after we did it, turned out she didn't even have the game that bitch. Which the worst part is now all my listeners buy Happy Days board games on eBay and send them to me. I have, like, seven of them. So, that's not a good thing. I don't know why we brought that up, but I always find that comedians at some point had some sort of
I think that was the only thing that was like sexual, like, but I mean I was hyper, like my mom was a prostitute and I walked in on her with John.
Did you guys just meet? He's got all these great stories you don't know about.
You didn't tell me is that what you're
are you kidding? Oh, I thought you're being sarcastic.
Is that true?
Yeah, my mother was a prostitute. My
I've
father
never known that.
My father was a pimp.
So that's why you're Rorschach now?
This is why he has. This is why he's a terrible friend. These are like. This is my foundation. This is my Batman story.
He's never told me this.
I told him.
We don't even like each other, and I heard that his father was murdered.
You kept saying your mom's a whore, so I just thought you meant like.
In a literal sense.
I didn't know you meant literally.
Oh, no. Literally a whore. Yeah, so I walked in on her with a John when I was maybe 4 years old.
Right.
Couldn't be 3 or 4 years old.
You didn't really know what was going on?
I knew exactly what was going on. This is what was messed up to me. She was naked. He was an older guy. He was wearing his clothes, but he must have, had his thing out. And they were on the bed, like, humping. And I walked in, and she was like, she yelled at me to get out. And I remember just at 3 or 4 years old, just remembering and thinking, like, oh, I was like, oh, he's paying her money to do this.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see any money. I had the intuition.
Have you ever paid a woman for sex?
Yes.
Well, I wondered if you saw that, if it would make you want to do it as you're older and never do it.
No. I mean, probably, maybe not want to do it more, but it probably made me humanize sex workers more.
More, yeah. Is she still alive?
My mother?
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't know.
No. Yeah. Whores have shelf lives of professional wrestlers. Do you understand? They live till about 40, 42.
My mom died. Heart comes out. She died at 42 looking like Mickey Rourke, and that's how.
Oh, man. But out of the whole thing.
I didn't know you meant literally.
out of the whole thing, Lewis, as crazy as you are, Bobby Kelly swears that you're the best father.
I think I'm a pretty good dad.
Yeah.
I mean, I practice peaceful parenting. I don't yell.
We don't
threaten him. We don't do any of that stuff.
Look, I'm glad that you made it in here today, and it's good to have you both here. These guys, Kurt Metzger and Louis J. Gomez, are going to be at Sidesplitters all weekend long. Both very funny comedians. Louis is a great podcast, Legion of Skanks. Check it out. You can just go wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, I'm on his network.
Oh, what do you got? You got a whole
Mine's
show?
Mine's called Can't Get Right. It's on Gas Digital.
Who, is it just you? What do you do with?
Just me.
Good. Kurt Metzger on Gas Digital. Yeah, search Gas Digital to find all the shows. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we got to wrap it up. Have a great weekend. Another chance for you to win $1,000 coming up at the top of the hour. We'll see you on Monday. Hold Doge at 45.